Because the nature of a bear is to chase down the one that's in front and come back and get the other. But to know that we have a God who has promised to protect us. We're not orphans. Come on, these are things that we see in this story of Abraham. It's all there. Basically, in sign language, your and my experience. And when God began to talk to him about how he's his protector, he's his provider, Abraham said, "That's wonderful, but I don't have a son." You see, there comes a point in every real man and woman of God's life that you know if this thing is not going to stop in your generation, you better produce some sons. And that's what really matters. You could have thousands of people in a congregation and maybe 10% of them might be sons. It doesn't mean that we don't minister to the congregation and bless them. Sure we do. But your investment has got to be in your son. And so God said, I've been meaning to talk to you about that too. Yeah, you're going to have a son. And to assure you of this, we're going to establish a covenant today, Genesis 15. And this covenant is going to dictate that you're going to have a son. And that son is going to come from your wife, Sarah. And I'm sure Abraham started thinking, wow, wait a minute here. I don't know if a moment of doubt hit him or not. Because sometimes when we look at the circumstances of life and the conditions that our physical man is in, I maybe understand it's easy to doubt. Why do you think the song says, "Let the sick say I'm healed"? Amen. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Because when we start to look at the conditions of our humanity, we weigh that against what God is saying. And what God does with the bulk of the Bible is show us the story and the evolving narrative of how he brings this thing to Christ. One nation, all that happens with one nation, with the intent to get to all the families of the earth. And so when you look at the beginning of the narrative of all the families of the earth, then you can grab the rest of your Bible, because this is just the first century portion of the story. Now we've got 1900 years to add to this. Are you flying with me this morning, church? Yeah, look at this. I mean, this is not much. But depending upon what date you accept the revelation to be, whether it is the close of Judaism, which was 70 AD, or one of the later dates, maximum, we're looking at 100 years. What about the other 1900? Guess who's living in the last portion? Come on, touch yourself. You're helping to write the story. What is it going to look like? You say, wait a minute, I'm not writing. Oh, yes, you are. You're writing. Because this is what the Bible says about each of us. We are living epistles. Your living letter. What is your letter saying? You see, all of these things, they're taking on greater meaning to me, and I guess maybe it's because I'm just getting a little bit younger. Yeah, a little bit younger. But it matters to me what we're saying. Now, as an individual letter, really, you're only a paragraph. Put us all together, we become a book. Together, we make a greater statement. By ourselves, yes, you can make a statement because there's that deposit of God that is inside of every one of us. And if I heard right, just a little portion I heard from the school of the Holy Spirit at the close of it, just to remind you just a little bit, nobody can ever be you but you. I heard you really going through that thing. I said, dig it, dig it, dig it, dig it. Because nobody really can ever be you but you. That's why you should never compare yourself to another person. Hallelujah. God didn't intend for them to have the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the expression that you have. I mean, you know, I could shout today and say, preach it, brother, and I still wouldn't be Nathaniel Rand. Come on, you heard him at Dr. Kelly Varner's, remember that? And you'd hear this booming voice on the tape, and I mean, just what I call the explosion of joy. We called him Brother Kool-Aid. Just an explosion of joy. Now, you know, someone else could have tried to mimic that and copy that, but what we would have known, that's a copycat. That's not the authentic one, huh? It's like something I used to hear Apostle Murray say, and you identify with this. He said, Lord God. And I heard some of you brothers try to do that, but it won't him. No, it wasn't him. You see, there's a unique flavor that every one of us are. When my brother on the end here was singing today, I knew exactly who his daddy was. Although he was not his daddy, but I knew exactly who his daddy was. Because you see, there'll be certain reflections of your dad that you will have. Because you have the seed, you grew up in the environment, and seed and environment basically makes you who you are. But yet that uniqueness is still there in every person, and therefore we're not to ever compare ourselves to ourselves. Paul said, because that's not wise. That's not wise. When I was coming up, because of the influence of my mother, men who knew my daddy, they said, boy, you ain't nothing like your daddy, are you? Now, I knew what they meant by that. I think you know what they meant by that. I said, no. No, I'm more like my mother. I enjoy staying home. As I enjoy staying home, no, I'm more like my mother. I said, yeah, boy, we can see you. You ain't nothing like your daddy. Now, do you think that's how Apostle Murray wants to conclude ministry? Somebody come in here, make an assessment and say, God, y'all ain't nothing like him. No, there should be in every one of us, though we're not comparing, that would remind others of his ways in Christ. Then there were other times I'd go places in ministry and they'd say, you came from Apostle Sanders, didn't you? I said, yeah, you're right. How could you tell? They said, we can tell by the way you praise. Because you know Apostle Sanders, man, I mean, he got behind that thing, the worship and praise, and pushed it until he